Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take the sources you shared with us and really try to distill them into genuinely strategic insight. This week, we are entering what feels like the ultimate modern investing cage match: real estate versus cryptocurrency.
It really is.
Look, both of these have just captured global attention. I mean, they offer serious alternatives to stocks and bonds.
And they both promise this transformative growth.
But if you actually hold them up to the light, they're polar opposites. One is physical, it's slow, often bureaucratic.
And designed for steady income.
Exactly. The other is digital, incredibly fast, and driven by, you know, adoption and market sentiment. It's hard to imagine two assets that look less alike.
Yet investors are constantly trying to choose between them.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to get past the headlines and really understand the deep structural DNA of these investments.
That's right. And the goal for you, the listener, isn't to figure out which one is inherently better.
Right. It's not a competition.
No. It's about which one actually aligns with your financial goals, your time horizon, and honestly, your real risk tolerance. Because how they create and destroy value is just fundamentally different.
So let's start with that structural DNA. When we define these, what are we actually defining? Because it goes beyond just physical versus digital, right?
It absolutely does. I mean, it impacts the capital you need, the liquidity, everything right from the start.
Okay, so real estate.
With real estate, you're acquiring exposure to physical property, the land, the building.
Either directly or through some kind of fund.
Right. And its value comes from two really reliable sources: the asset's actual worth, you know, as shelter or for commercial use, and the income it produces. That's what gives it stability.
And it takes a lot of capital. That's a huge barrier.
A huge barrier. You need a down payment, a big fractional stake, and it is so illiquid. Selling a building can take months, not minutes.
And then there's cryptocurrency, which is the exact opposite on, well, all of those points.
Yeah.
It's entirely digital.
Precisely. Its price is determined by supply and demand, yes, but mostly by market sentiment, tech adoption, scarcity.
Not physical utility. Not a fixed income stream.
Not at all. And you can get in with almost no capital, and you can sell in milliseconds.
So if we lay this out, based on the sources, we have a really clear table of contrasts. Real estate is tangible, physical.
And crypto is intangible, digital.
The value driver for RE is that rental income and appreciation over time. For crypto, it's purely sentiment and network adoption.
And the time horizon is a big one. Real estate is inherently long-term focused. You're waiting years, maybe decades.
Yeah, for that significant appreciation.
Whereas crypto is often speculative. It can be short-term trading, long-term holding, but it's always ready for immediate movement.
That lack of a physical anchor,
yeah,
the property backing, that's what influences everything else, especially risk.
Which brings us to volatility and investor behavior.
Mm.
When we talk about risk profiles, I think the biggest difference is the pace of it all, the pace of the market movement.
What do you mean by that?
Well, real estate risk is structured. It's gradual. Changes in property values, they happen over long periods because of these huge macroeconomic factors.
Like interest rates, zoning laws, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And that slow pace is so critical because it gives you, the investor, what we call an adjustment window. You have time to react, to refinance, to adjust your strategy.
You don't get a shock event. You're not going to wake up to a 40% loss because of some tweet or a regulatory change.
Never. And that predictability, that really anchors the psychological cost of the investment.
Which is a perfect contrast to crypto.
Oh, a critical distinction. Cryptocurrency volatility is high and it is instantaneous. Prices can shift dramatically within hours.
Because the market is 247, it's decentralized.
And it lacks the circuit breakers, the regulatory speed bumps you see in traditional markets. This speed creates what some sources call systemic emotional fragility.
Meaning the flickering charts in your pocket are basically forcing you, or at least encouraging you, to make reactive decisions.
Which are almost always emotionally driven. You see a dip, you panic sell, you see a boom, you get FOMO and you buy in.
Right. Whereas real estate values, they're anchored by the physical asset and the rental income. So it discourages those emotional swings.
It's like tending a garden versus, I don't know, high-frequency trading. One requires patience and a long-term plan. The other doesn't.
So how does each one respond to an external shock, like a sudden policy shift from the Fed?
Well, real estate markets are notoriously slow to react. A big interest rate hike might take 6 months, maybe a year, to fully show up in prices.
So that gives you time to prepare and adapt.
It does, whereas crypto markets respond instantly. often within minutes of a big announcement.
Or even a tweet from someone influential.
Exactly. And while an active trader might love that, for someone trying to preserve capital, that speed is terrifying. It makes it so much harder to manage as a steady holding.
And that structural difference in speed, it leads us right to how value is actually generated over time. How do you get paid?
Good question. Real estate gives you two powerful, very distinct components. First is the ongoing rental income.
Which is predictable, right? It's backed by a lease.
It's a legally binding contract. It provides cash flow, stability. And second, you have the long-term appreciation.
And what's really key here is that even if the market slows down, that income can keep flowing as long as the place is occupied.
That offers immense resilience. And the sources also bring up this concept of the illiquidity premium.
Meaning you get compensated with higher yields because it's hard to sell quickly.
You do. And we can't forget the tax advantages built into real estate, specifically depreciation.
That's a huge one. It's a non-cash expense that lowers your taxable income without touching your cash flow. Crypto has nothing like that.
Nothing whatsoever. Returns for most cryptos rely entirely on price appreciation. You only realize that value when you sell. You're betting purely on momentum.
Now, people will bring up things like staking or yield programs.
And they exist, sure, but they are not comparable to contractual rental income. Not even close.
Can you just briefly define staking for someone who's maybe coming from a traditional RE background? Why is it riskier?
Absolutely. Staking is basically locking up your crypto to help secure a blockchain network. You're helping to validate transactions. In return, you earn rewards, kind of like interest.
The risk is?
The risk is that this income is algorithmic, not contractual. You face counterparty risk if the platform you're staking on collapses. Or slashing risk, where your assets can be penalized if something goes wrong.
So you're investing in the network's functionality, not in demand for a physical property.
Exactly. So you have this very clear contrast. Income-driven growth on one side versus speculative appreciation on the other.
And how does that distinction really affect long-term planning?
Well, for real estate, long-term value is supported by really concrete things. Demand for shelter, population growth, its role as an inflation hedge. That stable income makes it much easier to manage in, say, a multi-decade financial plan.
It's less reactive.
But
I have to push back a bit. Crypto is digital, it's easier to diversify, and it requires so much less capital than a down payment. That's a huge advantage, especially for younger investors.
That's a critical point, and it's absolutely true. Crypto's fractional nature makes diversification faster and easier. You can hold 20 different assets with almost no friction.
Okay.
But diversification in crypto doesn't always protect you from systemic risk. When overall market sentiment drops, correlation often goes to one.
Meaning everything drops together.
Pretty much. In contrast, while RE is harder to diversify, the risk is more localized. A housing crash in one city doesn't automatically sink a property in another state. At least not instantly.
So the most fundamental distinction really comes back to asset backing.
It always does. Real estate is backed by physical property that exists and has utility even if market prices fall.
That physical anchor, it gives property its defensive characteristics. If the market tanks, you still own a building.
A building that can be leased, maintained, improved. It appeals to people who prioritize capital preservation.
Because even if the paper value drops, the asset can still generate income and preserve value through a weak cycle.
Right. Cryptocurrency, on the other hand, its value is based on perceived utility, scarcity, and network adoption. If that confidence goes away,
the value can just evaporate. There's no alternative use, no guaranteed income stream to prop it up.
And that leads to much sharper drawdowns and potentially much longer, more painful recoveries.
It's fascinating how those distinctions, physical versus digital, income versus appreciation, they clarify why these two assets appeal to such different people.
Different psychological profiles, for sure.
One prioritizes endurance and income. The other prioritizes momentum and rapid growth.
Well said.
But what if you're an investor who is, you know, comfortable with digital platforms? Maybe you even started in crypto, but now you're craving that asset-backed stability, that income stream. The market is starting to bridge that gap.
It is, and this is where it gets really interesting. We're seeing the rise of tokenized property.
Okay, explain tokenization. It sounds complex, but it's really just about making physical property divisible, isn't it?
That's the core of it, yes. Tokenization is the process of issuing a digital token on a blockchain that represents legal ownership of a real-world asset, like a house.
So you're turning an illiquid asset into a liquid digital security.
Exactly. One that can be traded 24/7. It tries to solve real estate's two biggest problems, high capital requirements and low liquidity, while keeping its core benefit,
The physical asset backing.
the physical asset backing. It's a way to reduce your exposure to that extreme crypto volatility while staying in a familiar digital world.
So it's the best of both worlds for a certain kind of digital native investor.
That's the promise. But the sources do highlight the challenges here, mainly around compliance and custody.
Right. How do you make sure the token actually represents an enforceable claim on the property?
That is the crucial element. It requires really robust legal frameworks. Platforms like Gamma Assets are working on this, offering fractional exposure to income-generating real estate.
They're trying to build that bridge.
They are. They provide clear asset backing, transparent distribution of rental income, structured compliance. It's a model that combines property stability with modern digital accessibility.
It seems like a natural extension for someone who's already comfortable in that digital ecosystem.
I think so. At the end of the day, when you compare the two, the risk assessment is just fundamentally different.
Because the sources of risk are different.
Exactly. Real estate risk is assessed through fundamentals, location, demand, historical performance. It's more predictable.
And crypto risk is driven by sentiment, tech relevance, regulatory news, much harder to measure upfront.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the choice is strategic, not moral. It's a choice between financial stability, supported by income, and the potential for rapid speculative growth, linked purely to appreciation.
They serve completely different purposes in a portfolio.
They really do. You might even own both, but you have to know what job you've hired each asset to do.
And that brings us back to you, the listener. We've broken down the structural differences, the volatility, the income generation. The distinction really clarifies why they appeal to different psychological profiles. Real estate prioritizes endurance and income. Cryptocurrency prioritizes momentum and high-speed growth. So this raised an important question. When you look at your own investment goals, which of these two core psychological profiles, the patient steward of endurance or the rapid chaser of momentum, defines your most fundamental approach to wealth creation?